Good evening, listeners. We want to welcome y'all to the Do Damage Podcast. I'm your gracious host, Aristotle the Great, and today we interviewing Do Damage on his own damn podcast. How about that? What's up with you, man?
What's up with it, bro? Man, how you doing, Aristotle?
I'm good, man.
Thank you for this too, and I truly appreciate this. Man, you a real one, baby. For real.
I got you, man. So look, let's jump right in. All the listeners would like to know a little bit about you and how you got into this music thing.
First of all, my real name is Dushan Marquise Alexander. I'm from Northern California, Oakland, California, North Oakland, California. I go by the artist name of Do Damage, producer, rapper, singer, recording engineer, mix and master engineer, videographer, video editor, record company, record label, independent. I jumped in this business in 1998, legally. I was harnessing that, all them skills, you know, previously, since I was the age of six. My brother, the vocalist from the group The Brothers of the Madness, that was signed to Sway in the Morning and King Tech in the early 90s. My brother got me.
The Bums.
Exactly. My brother got me introduced to rapping, and my second oldest brother got me introduced to dancing, so this is part of my dad's side of the family, you know, this musical gene. So I'm the third generation. So that's how that go.
What and who are some of your early musical influences?
Motown, baby. Come on now. Some of my earlier influences? Now I wanted to be like Jackson 5, Temptations, you know, Smokey Robinson. You know, I listened to Diana Ross, The Supremes. You know, I wanted that family unity sound, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't even born in that generation, you know, but that's what my parents played for me and my brothers coming up, you know. And then Evol, he got my oldest brother, he got me into the rapping, you know, and started me off with influences like LL Cool J, you know, KRS-One, Public Enemy, you know, Gangstar. You know, and Too Short for sure, MC Hammer, you know, and the list goes. It's just a pretty long list, but those are just some of the few of the names that started off my earliest, you know, as my earlier influences. Definitely.
What's the best and worst part of this music game?
Now, man, that's a good question. That's a good question, Aristotle. That's a great question. Let me think. So I don't really have no worst parts of this business. I'm going to be honest with you. I take everything with a grain of salt. The shit that get up under my skin or up under my nails, man, I'm going to get a fingernail fucking foul, and I'll get that shit up out of here, man. So with that being said, the best parts about this business that I'm in, that you're in, from my experience, the best parts is being flexible. You know, learning the ropes. I got great management, you know what I'm saying? I got great management. It's my uncle, so he's an elder. He's 62 years old, so despite the music business, he get to tell me about life experiences, and that keeps me ahead of the curve, you know, just knowing that the shit that he's been through when he was my age, I haven't went through what he's went through yet, you know what I'm saying? My mom, she's a constant influence in my ear, taking everything as a learning experience, and not letting the worst parts get up under my skin. Like, I can't control what somebody else do, but I can't control what I do.
Nice. Do the politics in the music game affect how you move around?
Fuck no. I don't pay attention to that shit. That was the whole point of me learning how to make my own beats, sing my own R&B hooks, rap my own verses, mix and master my own songs, shoot my own videos, edit my own music videos, promote myself, market myself, put money behind my wardrobe that I'ma wear for the music videos. Shit, that's, you know, I try to become a one-man band, so I don't gotta deal with the politics. Like, fuck them politics.
See, one thing I noticed about you when I found out who you were is you're one of the rare people that do everything. I mean, you got the label, you do the beats, you own the studio, rap, sing, write, you know what I'm saying? Just everything. Like, that's a rare breed right there. Not too many people could do that. And I just want to give you your flowers. Like, you know, when we admire people, we usually don't say nothing. We just silently cheerlead on the sidelines, you know what I'm saying? So I got to give you your respect. And I would want to ask you, actually, this was a question that somebody gave me. If you could work with anybody, one dead, one alive, who would those people be?
I'm already working with one of them. I'm working with Aristotle the Great. We talking about flowers. We talking about roses and flowers. Let's give them, man. Shit, it's like we looking in the mirror right now. You do exactly the same shit that I do, so it ain't rare. You know, it's just motherfuckers got to have the discipline to do it and the knowledge to do it. So I'm working with one right now. If I only get two, Aristotle the Great, Michael Jackson. Who wouldn't want to work with the King of Pop?
That's what's up. So when you're not working on music because, you know, maybe you're not feeling it, I think all artists get to a point where they want to take a break and do some other stuff. Where you get that spark that just make you want to go back into the studio. What are some of those things that could make you do that?
Well, that's a good fucking question, Aristotle. I'm going to be honest. I work on a schedule, bro. Like, I know how many projects I'ma do a year. I know how many solo projects I'ma do a year. I know how many singles I'ma put out a year. And I know how many compilations or EPs that I'ma put out a year of artists that I produce for. So in between those, I have those are segues. So what I would do is in between albums, you know, as I'm shooting music videos, doing promo tours with radio stations, podcasts, all that stuff. Any idea I get, I'll jot that down in one of my phones. Or, or per se, any musical idea I get, I'll either write out what the beginning note is. I'll either write the sheet music down, or at least the first couple bars of it, so I know where it's going. Or I'll beatbox it. Or if it's a sample, I'll just start preparing to clear the sample automatically, so I know what this song is going to be based upon. So I won't go back in the studio until it's time, until I make a deadline for that next project.
Nice, nice. So one thing I noticed about being a professional in general, like if you're going to be a doctor, a medical doctor, it's like go to school, go to med school, intern. You know, if you're going to be a lawyer, go to school, law school, pass the bar exam, you know, whatever it is, there's a process for you to be able to get to where you can even have an opinion on anything in that industry. But the music business is the only place people go that literally have no experience at all, but they got all the answers and they want to try to tell you what to do, and you have all the experience and they don't. So how do you play past people, you know, trying to tell you what to do and guide you, and they don't know what they're talking about?
I don't know what they're talking about until I don't know what they're talking about. So I take a lot of advice. I use a lot of good and bad advice, you know? I know when it's bad advice because I'm like, fuck, I should just follow my first mind. But sometimes I'm like, shit, that shit actually worked. You get the instructions last. You get what I'm saying? In life, you're not getting the instructions first. It's trial by error. It's trial and error. So after you finish making all the mistakes and everything, then you have these set of instructions that's saying, damn, well, if you would have just did this like this, and that's where those people come into play. You would have just did this like this, if you do this like this. Sometimes people will pass their wants and dreams off into your career. And you can't be mad at people wanting to be that way. You just have to know who you are. If Aristotle know who he is, he don't have to worry about that. It's irritating at times, but who can tell you better about yourself than you and God?
That's what's up. I think the music industry is one of the hardest industries to break into. I mean, you probably got the same odds as winning the state lottery or something, right? So what advice would you give new up-and-coming artists to get in this thing?
For one, be true to yourself, first off. For two, know what direction you're trying to go. If you're trying to go with a major label, you're trying to go with an artist deal, if you're trying to go with a label deal, if you're trying to go with a production deal, if you're trying to go with a, all of them is going to be 360 regardless, okay? Labels are in the business of making money. And you got to understand, they'll put you on a different platform than you would be if you just struggled 10 years independently, which you can get lucky also with. But just understand where you're trying to go with your talent and what you will accept and what you won't accept. And you might not know all the way, but you're going to learn along the way. And that's the main thing. So my main thing that I could tell anybody that's up and coming in any type of business is be true to yourself.
About a month ago, Spotify changed the payout rate to artists, which was already low. I think before it took you like, you had to get 300 plays on a song to make a penny. Now it's over 400 plays to make a penny, which probably to make $1,500, you're gonna need to get like a million plays. You know what I'm saying? All the streaming companies secretly lower the pay every few months. They don't put out a press release or nothing, and it seems really unjust for the creators. What are your thoughts on this?
Keep working. If you ain't making enough money doing what you trying to do, then keep working. Keep grinding. Put out more music. Keep grinding. This ain't the business where you can worry about money. This the business where you got to worry about working. You got to worry about them fans knowing you consistent. You got other shit to worry about. We talking about a business that can change your life, bro. Turn you into a fucking multi-millionaire. You know what happened to rappers that get that level? Where they go from there? They go to acting. They go to clothing lines. They go to perfume lines. We talking about shit that can change you and your family's life. My family's life. My life. I don't think the pressure is about the money. The pressure is about the content.
So listen, in this game, you have artists in two categories. And most people are in the first category where they just sound like everything that's out. That's the real popular thing to do. You know, you can get in the playlist, you know, in the mix show on the radio. So most people sound the exact same, making the exact same song. But then you got those rare people that are original, you know, and are good at being original. And so what do you think about the game? Just, you know, you listen to a playlist and it just sound like an hour-long song and there's not much originality. What do you think about that?
I don't know what them artists going through. You know, when I listen to music, I'm listening to music from being influenced by its side. You know what I'm saying? I don't listen to music as a consumer or a producer or an artist. I listen to it as, can this shit influence me? You know? It's because it don't have to be the artist. You know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, fucking auto-tune is impacted the entire industry for good reasons. You know, this generation, which is our generation, believe in work smarter, not harder, right? And in order to put out music at a rapid pace, you can't be in here trying to perfect shit. You get to perfection as you keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because in the music industry, ain't no losses. As long as you putting out music, you winning.
All right, do damage. You are a producer and an artist, and most people can't really do that successfully. So what do you think the main difference between the two is, being that you're on both sides?
One of them was made for profiting for the label's sake, which was production, of course, the musical side of it. You know, the actual musical side of it. Because I'm going to tell you the reason why is because we've seen all the artists who have fallen victim to being the last to get paid. You know, we've seen a prime example of it in the 90s with TLC. We also seen the same record company try to do the same shit to Toni Braxton, but it didn't work. You know what I'm saying? They had to cash her out because She was in her legal rights of what the contractual obligation was. So The only difference between an artist and a producer would be the contract.
Man, so before we wrap this up, tell the people where they can find you.
Man, just Google Do Damage. D-U spacebar D-A-M-A-G-E. First name Do, as in D-U. Last name Damage. Do Damage on everything. Do underscore Damage on Twitter. At Do underscore Damage on Twitter. At Do underscore Damage on TikTok. D-U spacebar Damage on Facebook for my music page, and as well as for my personal page. Instagram, one word, Do Damage. D-U-D-A-M-A-G-E. YouTube, D-U spacebar Damage. And the rest of them, iTunes, Rhapsody, that's been so long ago. iTunes, Pandora, Tidal, Napster, Story Mode for IG, Reels, everything. Just type in Do Damage, D-U, spacebar Damage. When I say spacebar, I just mean put a space in between the first and the last name. That's it. That's just Do Damage everywhere. D-U, Damage.
That's funny. It'll be a rap route named Do Spacebar Damage. People would think that's you. How many albums you got out, Do Damage?
47. And as of Monday, it'll be 48. That I dropped.
Oh, my God.
Since January of 2019. I believe 18 of those are solo projects. Like four of them are compilations. Then I got singles and EPs on other artists that I produce for. So yeah, it'd be 48 come Monday. Matter of fact, Monday, December 13th, Do Damage, the Big Grizzly album, out. Streaming platforms, exclusively produced, rap, sung, mixed and mastered by me. Videos shot by my mom, Carolyn S. Alexander, and edited by me. So yeah, that'll be the 48th project.
Y'all make sure y'all get that. And one last question. What do you think about the passing of Slim 400 and Young Dolph?
I'm really thinking like how I'm gonna answer this. Like, I don't wanna answer this wrong. You know what I mean? So, first of all, condolences to the families and friends of Slim 400 and Young Dolph. The passing of them, I don't wish death upon nobody. Let's first and foremost say that. And we've been taking ills left and right in this rap game with artists, with rappers, artists. I don't know what the inside situations are. I don't know what people are doing to get themselves in these type of situations. Because it could be anybody. It could be me. It could be anybody. One thing I do know is that it's more people know you when you become a rapper than you know them. You gotta protect yourself like you the president of the United States of America. I mean, in the 1960s, our parents and grandparents witnessed John F. Kennedy get his head blown off at the Dealey Plaza in Dallas. Or was that Fort Worth? One of those. So I think when you a public figure, any type of public figure, you have to protect yourself. You are no longer human to the people that's looking at you. You are like a god now. You know? You like a god, so I think you gotta protect yourself. You gotta be scared to die. You know? I'm scared to die until God tell me, hey, it's your turn. I don't want it to be by the hand of another person. You know? I don't want that for my family. I don't want that for your family. I don't want that for anybody's family. And sometimes we rap about this type of stuff. Like, I protect myself in songs all the time. I say, you know, what'll happen if, you know, somebody fuck with me or something like that. But in all actuality, I try to stay away from them type of situations. What I've been seeing from the tragic situations with all rappers, what they've been going through, except for the exception of Tupac and Biggie. All these rappers were assassinated in their own home cities. So I don't know if that's the way we move. I don't know if that's the politics. I don't know what it is, but I just say protect yourself as an artist, like you the president, like you the president of the United States of America. You to protect yourself at all costs. It's sad, man. That's two deaths in the last month. You know, it happened like that in 2020 with King Von and Mo 3. Days apart. Gotta protect yourself. Young man, you gotta be scared to die. Life gets better. Live to be an old man. That's cool. Dying when you old. You know what I'm saying? With your grandkids, your great-grandkids, you know what I'm saying, around your bedside. It ain't cool to die at 33. It ain't cool to die by the hand of somebody else. And it ain't cool to take people's lives. Protect yourself. And I'm gonna leave it at that.
It is. Rest in peace, Young Dolph and Slim 400. And this is the Do Damage Podcast with your man, Do Damage, the Big Grizzly. Make sure you get that.
December 13th. That's Monday.
Yeah, December 13th. And check back. We got more interviews coming for you. Ever started a great. We out.
The Do Damage Productions, huh?